Welcome to the Christian Bible Church Podcast, where the weekly preaching ministry of the Christian Bible Church can be heard. For more information about the Christian Bible Church, please visit us on our webpage at christianbiblechurch.us.
Let's take our Bibles again this morning to the great prophet and prophecy of Jeremiah. Last week we considered something of the prophet himself, his calling, the conditions on which he was called, his message that he gave, and how God formed him in his mother's womb and made him the prophet that he could use. This morning we're again chapter 17 and verse 14, this prayer, this cry of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17, verse 14. And here he is, his plea, his prayer to God. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you, and Father, we ask now that the Spirit of God would be present among us to speak to us, to comfort us. And Father, may we again realize, as we just sang, that we put our life in the potter's hand. They're wonderful words to sing, beautiful words to sing. But the reality of their meaning is awesome. That we're going to allow God to work in our life by whatever means he chooses. We're but the clay. And as we saw last week of Jeremiah going to the potter's house, and they're fashioning a piece of clay on the wheel. That's what God does to our life. With blessing, with sorrow, he fashions us into a vessel of his own choosing, fitting us to the service that God wants us to do, to a unique and special calling. Father, may we yield ourselves to you today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I'm anxious to bring this message from Jeremiah 17, 14, because the thing I want us to see this morning are the various steps and stages of what it is to become a Christian. What does it take as you look at Jeremiah's plea, his prayer, to take us from a position of the weight of sin, the conviction of sin, the awareness of sin, where we cry like Jeremiah, heal me, save me. And then it takes us to the awareness and the assurance that when we come to God in this way, in humility, that we will be healed. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. Then what takes us to a position of misery, of sadness, of sorrow in life, to the point where we live a life of praise and thanksgiving. You are my praise. So we want to look at the various steps and stages that each individual who professes to be a Christian must go, inevitably go through, in order to go from the conviction, the awareness, the burden of sin, to forgiveness, to relief, and to this life of praise and thanksgiving. You know, as we look at our life on this earth, I think you would agree with me that the most important thing in our life, the most vital thing in our life, the most urgent thing in our life is our relationship to God. Everything in this present life is affected by our relationship with God. You know, you think of other relationships that we have in life with a spouse, with family, with friends. These are all affected by our relationship to God. To be the spouse God wants you to be, a father, a mother that God wants you to be, a friend that God wants you to be, it is all affected by our relationship to God. But more than that, our relationship with God affects us all eternity. We'll never see heaven. We'll never know the glory and the beauty of heaven standing in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ if we are wrong in this, in our relationship to God. If we want assurance of heaven and the glory and the beauty of heaven, then we realize that we have to be right with God, that we have to know that we have met all these stages and conditions of going from heal me, save me, to I will be healed, I will be saved, for you are my praise. So this morning I want us to consider, now if you flip your bulletin over, there's a number of stages and steps we go through in our walk with God and coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And following these, we want to look at them. You think of this, that as we begin to look at these steps and stages of conversion, of coming to know Christ as our Savior. When we think about the Christian gospel, when we think about what the gospel has to offer to us of forgiveness, reconciliation with God, assurance of heaven, we have to begin with this. Where do we stand? As I look at my life right now, as I examine my life right now, where do I stand in my relationship with God? Where am I in my standing before God? And we can summarize it this way. When you think about the Lord Jesus Christ, when you think about the blood and the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, how do you respond? When you think about Christ dying for you, taking your sin, your judgment, your penalty upon himself to die in utter anguish and agony on the cross, where do you stand? Because you can look at the cross, you can look at the work of cross or the work of Christ that he did on the cross, and you may think, this has really no bearing and no meaning in my life. It is an event in history. Something occurred in history, but it really has no bearing on my life. Or you look at the cross of Christ, his bleeding, his death, his dying for you. Do you rejoice? Are you glad? Are you thankful that Christ did this for you? And you see immediately, there's only one of two positions you can be in. Either Christ means nothing to you, or Christ means everything to you. He is your life, and he is your soul's hope and trust. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth, he said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, he said, don't think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I have not come to bring peace. I've come to bring a sword. That word sword is an interesting word. It's not the sword that the Roman soldier used in battle, but it is a word that means a knife, a butcher's knife, a slaughter knife. It is what was used to separate the different kinds of meat especially in regard to the Jewish offering. See, Christ has not come to bring peace. He's come to bring a sword. He's come to make a division between those who are Christians and those who are not. And so we come to this, and we want to look at how these steps and stages, as we go through them today and next Sunday, we're going to see exactly what side of the cross we are on. Are we for Christ or are we against Christ? So let's think about the first step or stage in our progress of going from the burden of sin, the weight of sin, the guilt, the conviction of sin, to knowing that we are forgiven, that we are cleansed, we have been reconciled back to God, and from a life of sorrow and misery and hardship to a life of praise and to a life of thanksgiving. So the first stage, the first step that each one of us as a Christian must go through, and that is that we have to have this confession that Jeremiah had. Notice, heal me, save me. Now, what does this confession imply? Heal me, save me. It implies this, that there is something wrong with Jeremiah. He is sick. He is diseased. He is ill. And he is diseased. He is ill. He is sick as a result of sin. The first step, the first stage in becoming a Christian and inevitably has to be the very first one, and that is that we come under this confession, this consciousness, this conviction of sin. I am sick. I am diseased. Heal me. Save me. This great prayer of Jeremiah to his God. Now, you can tell a lot about a person when they pray. Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. And we want to see, it's a very familiar passage to us, of these two individuals who went up to the temple to pray. Luke 18, verse 9, it says, "Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous." Now this parable is directed to the Pharisees. These are the ones who trusted in themselves. They trusted in themselves. That is, that they're trusting in their goodness, in their merit, in their works to get to heaven. They trusted in themselves that they were righteous because of what they did and what they were doing, and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray. Now notice here that there's things in common. Two men went up to the temple to pray. They're very conscious of religion, very conscious of God, and very conscious of coming to worship God. Two men went up to the temple to pray. A very common scene, experience. One, a Pharisee, the other, a tax collector. Now, there could be no more different or diverse people, a Pharisee, a tax collector. Now, you look at these two individuals socially, and there is a marked distinction. The Pharisee, he is respected, he is educated, he is trained, he is admired, he is looked up to. He is a teacher of the law, and the other a tax collector. This one has given himself to the Roman government to collect taxes from his fellow Jews. He is despised. He is rejected by society. He is scorned. One admired, one respected, the other scorned. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, or within himself, God. Now, as I read, you notice how many times the word I appears in two verses. God, I thank you that I am not like other men. Now, he's looking at this tax collector. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithe of all that I possess. You see, the emphasis here is on I. You see, there's no consciousness. There's no confession of sin. There's no conviction of sin. Here's an individual that admires himself. And here's where we can look at these two individuals and we can draw a line to where do I stand in regard to my relationship to Christ, to my relationship to the cross of Christ, to the work of Christ. Are we like this Pharisee? I. When we pray, is it I? Look what I've done. Look at what I have sacrificed. Look what I have accomplished, what I've done. You see, our prayers tell a whole lot about ourselves when we pray before God. When we're alone with God and we're speaking to God, it is very telling about our nature and character as we pray before God. And this individual, this Pharisee, was self-sufficient, arrogant, proud, self-righteous. Now look at the tax collector. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. There's his confession. He has an awareness, a conviction of sin. And you see why this is the very first step to coming to Christ. If we are not aware of the fact that we are sick, that we are ill, that we are diseased, we will never come to Christ. We have no need of Christ. We have no use of Christ. If our religion is one of what I do, my merit, my goodness, my work, I'm standing on what I do. I am like this Pharisee. I am trusting in myself. We have no need of Christ. We have no need of the cross of Christ. We have no need of the blood of Christ. We have no need of forgiveness, no need of cleansing, no need of reconciliation. But this tax collector knew, just like Jeremiah and everyone else who has come to the Lord Jesus Christ, that their first confession is this: I am lost. I am sick. I am ill. I am diseased. I have this problem that is called sin. The Christian's first confession is a confession of need born out of the awareness and conviction of sin. Now, we think about this. What is a Christian? How do you become a Christian? You ask a person, what is a Christian? How do you become a Christian? And the answer is this, I am moral, I am religious, I am good, I follow the rites and rituals, the ceremonies of the church. And by their very answer, you know immediately that they are not a Christian. They have no understanding of the grace of God, the cross of Christ, the goodness of God. But a Christian is one who readily admits, I am sick, I am ill, I am diseased with sin. That is the very first step, the first stage in coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, a need to be delivered. And you can never claim to be a Christian, you can never profess to be a Christian unless you have this confession that I'm sick, I'm ill, I am diseased with sin. You know, some people will say that I know I do things wrong. I'm not a bad person. Basically, I'm still a very good person, even though I sometimes do things that are wrong. This is not Jeremiah's confession. He cries out in desperation, "Heal me, save me." And that is same true of everyone who has become a Christian by the grace of God, is that they cry like this, "Heal me, save me." It is their confession. Heal me, save me. They are desperately sick. You think of the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7. In Romans 7, verse 18, "In me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing." Then you get to the end of Romans 7 to verse 24. It says, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" See, the Apostle Paul knew what it was to cry out like Jeremiah, "Heal me, save me." Now, the Bible says that in Romans 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." In Romans 3, verse 10, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Now, you hear what the Bible says about our human condition. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No matter how hard we try in living a life that pleases God, we still fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now you hear the words of Scripture and ask yourself this: do you disagree with Scripture? Do you argue and debate with Scripture? Do you say, "I am not a sinner. I have no need. I'm essentially a good person"? You see, you stand on one side or the other of the declaration of Scripture. You either argue and debate with Scripture, or you agree with Scripture. You rejoice with Scripture. "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That's me. That's my condition. I heartily agree with the statement of Scripture. Now, the non-Christian, they would argue something like this: if God is holy, if God is just, if God is good at all, cannot God in his wisdom distinguish and discern between the person who is religious, who goes to church, who is moral, who does good, who strives their best to do what is right? Cannot God, who is holy and just and all-seeing, can he make a distinction, a difference between the person who is religious and moral and the person who has given their lives to sin and to lust and to immorality and evil? Should not God reward these according to their works and their deeds? Should he not give to the one who is religious and moral eternal life? And should he not give to those who live a life of sin and immorality and drunkenness and no thought of God? Should not God give this person then eternal damnation? You see, this is the thinking of the Pharisee in the parable of Jesus. They trusted in themselves that they were righteous. You see, as a Christian, we don't make such a claim or argument. We readily confess, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God," and I fall under the shadow of that verse. I am condemned and undone. I have no excuse. I have no answer. I have no plea. Heal me. Save me. Now you think about the incarnation and the coming of Christ to this earth. Why did he come? And here again, by the very words of Christ, we can test ourselves. In Luke 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." In Luke 5, 32, Jesus said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." In Mark 2, verse 17, Jesus said, "They that are whole, they don't need a physician, but they that are sick. Now, let's emphasize these words in Luke 19, 10, 5:32, and Mark 2, 17. Those who are lost. He's called sinners to repentance. He's called those who are sick. Now, here again, ask yourself, do you agree with the statement of Scripture? Are you in harmony with Scripture? Do you say, he came to seek and save me because I was lost? He came to call me, who was a sinner, to repentance. He's called me because I'm sick with a disease called sin. Or do you debate and argue and turn your back on the clear statement of Scripture, that when you look at the meaning and the mission of Christ coming to this earth, does it insult you what Christ says, or do you agree with Christ said? Do you praise God for what Christ said? See, the confession of sin is this. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I am sick. I need a great physician. That's the confession of Jeremiah. Now, the second thing we want to think about is the condition, as you look at your outline. Now, we look at humanity. We look at human behavior, and immediately we realize that there is something wrong with human behavior. You know, it doesn't take long as you watch the news or read the paper that there is something desperately wrong in society. And so we have to ask ourselves this question. Why do people behave and act the way they do? Why are we who are so wise in technology and so many areas of life, why are we in the gutters morally? Why have we sunk so low? What is the explanation? And there is only one explanation, and that is that our condition, our heart, our soul, our very nature and character is all corrupt by sin. We sin because we are sinners. That in our nature, there is something radically wrong, desperately wrong. Society knows that people are wrong in their behavior. Various sciences try to explain human behavior and what can be done to improve human behavior. You think about the psychologist. The psychologist will tell us, you know, all we need to do is you go into therapy. You go into analysis and you try to understand yourself and your experiences and what causes you to behave the way that you do, and get in touch with your feelings, and you think about the feelings and thoughts of others, and then maybe you could live a better life. The politician says this, that you know what we need is we need bigger government, we need more laws, we need government control, and this will bring human behavior in line. You think about the sociologist. The sociologist says that we believe in the general goodness of man, but somehow they're given over to a dark side or a dark impulse. And so the sociologist appeals to your better self, your better nature, to think about what you're doing, and this will improve society. You look at the educator, And the educator says this, that you know what we need? People need information. People need knowledge. People need learning. And if people just had the right understanding, the proper understanding, that everyone would make the right choices in life. Now, we live in an age where we have immense knowledge and learning, you know, the internet. You know, but where is behavior in line with the knowledge and the information that we possess? You see, we listen to the psychologist, we listen to the politician, we listen to the sociologist, we listen to the educator, and we see this, we conclude this, that they are utterly wrong. Nothing that you ever try to do will ever improve human nature, because people sin and people behave the way they do because there is something wrong, drastically wrong, with the human heart and the human nature. You look at verse 9 in Jeremiah 17. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? See, our society is doing this. It is trying to deal with the fruit, with behavior, with actions. It is not dealing with the root cause why people behave the way they do. It is only the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that can deal with the human condition, the human heart, the human nature. Remember, David said in Psalm 51, verse 1, or verse 5, in his great confession of sin with Bathsheba, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." That David's confession is this, that from the very moment of conception in his mother's womb, he was a sinner. He had a heart that was wrong, desperately sick. He had a nature that was bent away from God and bent towards sin. In our gospel work, we cannot deal with the fruit of sin, the evidence of sin. We have to deal with the very root of sin, and that is in the human heart and in the human nature. And what man needs is a new heart and a new nature, a new beginning, a new start. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ, you remember, said to Nicodemus, a Pharisee. Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, except a man be born again, born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You see, that's our mission and calling as a church into this world, is to bring this message. What you need is a new heart, a new nature that comes from God. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that delivers us from sin. That we come to Christ in a confession. I am sick. I am diseased. I am sinful. Just as Peter cried out to the Lord Jesus Christ on the shore of Galilee, "Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man." We are all sinners, and we all need a Savior. Father, we thank you for your loving compassion, that you understand us, you understand what our crucial and critical need is, and that is a Savior, and to be born from above, born anew. Thank you for this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Christian Bible Church podcast. Have questions? Visit our webpage at christianbiblechurch.us to contact us. Feel free to subscribe to receive new podcasts automatically. Until next time, thanks for listening, and may God bless you.